this last year under Resolution 23-87. Is a minor site plan must be submitted. That is what's before you tonight. This is a quasi-judicial action, so you're reviewing the site plan to see if it conforms with the conditions in the conditional use permit as well as the land development code. And if the site plan does depict what it is required to by your code and the conditional use permit, then it's pretty administratively, it has to be approved. This is not policy setting. As I said, the conditional use permit was already granted, so it's no longer a decision about the use. It's a decision as to whether or not the site plan complies with the code. If there have been any outside communications relating to this quasi-judicial action, then this would be the appropriate time to disclose those, whether it's in writing or verbally. Just a summary of who you spoke to and the substance of the conversation as it relates, so that the applicant has an opportunity to respond if they choose to. And I believe Lisa or Sean will be doing a staff report. Is there anything that needs to be disclosed on the record?
Good evening, everyone. So we have reviewed the application that was submitted on July 22nd, and we have provided an analysis that says that we reviewed the application of the site plan that was initially dated June 18th, and we did request additional information that's called out in the Land Development Code, as well as the conditions for approval of Resolution 2023-87. We have a copy of the review comments in this packet, and we did get a chance to review them this week before the meeting. And there are still some items missing that the applicant will need to take care of before we can recommend approval. And if you look back towards the end of the application, there's a copy of our comments. And we've got a comment from the engineer as well. Sorry, I don't have page numbers in here, but it's towards the right before the new section B. You'll see the comments there. So on the planning comments, we need some setbacks that are to scale. The applicant did provide setbacks written in on the plan, but they don't appear to be to scale, so that would help if that could be updated. He has provided the length of the parking spots to be a maximum of 35 feet, which does meet the requirement of the resolution. So 35 foot, or shall be a maximum length of 38, and he's got a 35 maximum. He has provided some traffic circulation, but looks like that could use some work as well to show multi-directional there on the loop. There's some, a little bit later on, he's going to need to obtain a right-of-way utilization permit from Lake County prior to any construction activities. We would like to see some additional signage details. There are notes that provide a bit of information about the signage details, but we're looking for a little bit more detail on those. The applicant has said that he is going to provide a vegetative buffer instead of a fence. We had said that either a Montverde-style fence or a vegetative buffer would work there to prevent intrusion into the 50-foot minimum setback from the wetlands. So he's going to go with the vegetative buffer. And we'll also need a landscaping and irrigation plan. And additionally, there's some other conditions in 2023-87 that need to be resolved, as well as in the land development code in the site plan section. Some items are missing there as well.
Sean, would you like to add anything?
Yes, the applicant is here. The chair wants to give him an opportunity to speak to the matter before public comment. You can approve it with the conditions that have been outlined that need to continue to be resolved, or if you need to table to a future meeting, whatever your pleasure is. Does the applicant want to come up and speak, or?
Hi guys, Grant Roberts, 160 Reserve 4, with the Avenue. This is just the site plan that is left for the CUP that was approved back, I guess it was December 15th, I think February, on the council. So again, staff recommended a list of things that I needed to do to be in compliance with that CUP. And this was one of the site plan. I know there's a few things that were missed, but I've had communication with staff back and forth, and you know, as they guide me in the direction of the site plan, needs to be I have been updated and being responsive throughout the process. So, any questions on this? So, yeah.
Question for staff. So, is it actively all of the things remaining?
So we review the a site plan like any time when there's a site plan that follows the CPP to make sure the site plan is consistent not only with what they are required to submit for any site plan, but then also with the CPP. So the items that Lisa mentioned would just be assurances that will be consistent with the CPP. He's been great to work with. This is probably more just things that were on the drawing. Correct.
Yeah.
Exactly that.
Yeah, the signage, you know, I'm just not ready to pick signage up yet. So when I do, I'll just assume, you know, I'm going to put the town for a sign. So I just figured kind of scratch it out.
Yeah, like anything, it's a documentation so that he's consistent or whatever, if somebody else that follows him, nobody's guessing in the future as to what was proposed and what was required. So again, you can do it, as the attorney has said, you've got, I guess three options really. One is approved with the conditions, the site plan that is going to meet all the conditions of the site plan that what we've requested. Two, to table it, or three, for denial.
We need to open it. Oh.
Yeah. I'll open it for public comment.
Could you, Josie, could you put your mic? We're not coming across there.
Is there any concern about the road? Or there are going to be 50 spaces in there, like a little more than 50. And is there any concern of it? Is that something we consider at all?
So the traffic, there was the considerable discussion about that the last couple of hearings regarding this matter. Both staff, professional opinion plus engineer, believe that that kind of traffic is not going to be a big deal when it comes to wear and tear of roads. They're going to be limited to people coming in and out of there a couple of times a week, maybe per, at best, per whatever, equipment that they're storing there. When I say equipment, an RV or a boat or something. So the traffic would be, in terms of, pretty de minimis, if that's the correct way to put it, on the roads. They will still have to get approval from Lake County on the access, but that's going to be, pretty standard, meaning that they protect the edge of pavement and they keep the access point at a certain location.
Can I ask you something? Just a thought. It looks to me like it's pretty well hidden from the neighbors, and it sounds like none of your neighbors have objected. Is that right? As you drive by in Foxgate or Ridgewood, would you see, how many of those boats are you going to see here?
Some of my biggest supporters have been my people neighbors throughout the entire process. And that was the goal of the moment, was that to make a beach canvas again. That's the end goal for the entire thing. And then fight the traffic. Boats and RVs, people maybe hook up to it on the weekend and go out during winter. They might not hook up to a boat at all. We would prefer to see more boats and RVs than landscapers coming in and out every day. We're trying to scale like that, focus on the boats and RVs because they hardly ever come in.
And offset that to
the
proposal.
Yeah, they were, and that was just one of the items, was just to make sure it was the scale, so kind of a small thing, but make sure it's on the ground. But they were met.
There were a number of conditional use parameters that was discussed in the original conditional use permit. Have all of those been met at this point?
Yeah.
Clear answers
yes.
To how all of those items are going to be.
They will all have been met once the site plans with those items that are written are clearly indicated on the drawings for us to have memorialized for now and in the future.
I'll throw the caveat on there with the exception there are some items in there such as providing the liability assurance that would come before the certificate of completion is issued. So there are a few things within that CP that are at a later stage once it gets past the stage. I would just also add that we would not recommend council do the final approval until all those little conditions are on the plan. So you can move it to the next step here if you want to, but we would definitely recommend council that those get corrected before it's approved by council as well.
Yeah, that was my concern, is that we give it the pass here at this point. There's still outstanding issues, and then it gets to council, and it's still got outstanding issues, right? It doesn't feel right. From my perspective, to approve an incomplete packet. That's what my angle I was looking at.
And you could, that could be a part of the motion that you make that clear. If you were to do that.
Yeah, you would approve it with the conditions, the comments are met for approval by council.
That's what I was trying to ask, are all required or something? So I was trying to understand that.
discussion?
Just frustrating, because I thought we had final approval already, but now it doesn't
have
to.
I'm sorry, we already closed the open.
All right, so I would propose that we approve 2025-182 with the condition that all of the outstanding remaining questions and conditional use permit requirements are resolved before it goes to council.
Second.
All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any nay? Next on the agenda is resolution number 2025-179. A resolution of the Town Council of the Town of Montford, Florida, granting preliminary development plan approval for a 137 single-family lot residential subdivision generally located north of Osgood Road, east of County Road 455, and west of Lake Apopka within the Town of Montford, Lake County, Florida, providing for an effective date. Just like the one that you just heard, this is a quasi-judicial action as well. The planned unit development zoning ordinance was approved by the Town Council. And so now they've presented us with a preliminary plat or a preliminary development plan. It must meet all the conditions for site development that are outlined in the PUD as well as the land development code if it's not addressed in the PUD. And again, you're reviewing to see did they meet all those conditions, and if so, then it's pretty administrative that it would be approved. If there are any disclosures that you have to make because it is a quasi-judicial hearing, now would be a good time to disclose any communications that you have, whether in writing or verbally, and just give a general synopsis of who you spoke to and what it was about so the applicant can respond to anything if they so choose.
So I do have something to disclose on this one. On July 22nd, there was a comment made on Nextdoor Montford, where an individual was basically calling out, hey, this meeting's happening, they saw it in the paper, what's this going on, and what are they doing about roads, and what are we doing about green spaces, and what are we doing about all of these things that have already been covered in the original PUD approval. And I did comment on that thread, basically saying that, you know, these are all things that have been thoroughly discussed and vetted through the vetting process of the original approval of the PUD. Or are items that are still yet to be discussed, such as the trees that are currently there and what the requirement for replacements are going to be, and encouraging people if they wanted to further be involved in the process that they should come to meetings. And that's the brief summary.
And you've provided a copy of those.
And I provided a copy, printed copy to you.
Okay, thank you.
A copier as well. So.
Thank you very much.
Anybody else have a discussion?
Staff reviewed the application and we found that it was consistent with the comprehensive plan and the land development code and recommends approval. This is based on an analysis that we're providing in the report. The analysis states, staff has reviewed the application and required submittals for the 137-lot subdivision. The applicant has provided the required documentation outlined in LDC Section 8-7, required documentation for preliminary development plans. Staff provided comments to the applicant, and those comments have been sufficiently addressed until the final development plan phase. A copy of the comments are included in the application section of this report. Staff recommends approval of the preliminary development plan and to include
something summarize history here. So the Osgood property annexed into the town many, many years ago. Never was officially given a land use category or zoning designation. It was just annexed into the town. So an application was submitted, and everybody knows the history and the hearings that have been held to go through the land use designation and the PUD for this property, the PUD approval. So all that was done. Now here we are at the second to the last stage. And what we have done is looked at everything that's been submitted, and so far with the preliminary PUD approval that is being supported tonight, what they have submitted is consistent with that. There will still be more analysis, more information once they get through tonight and then through the town council, because they'll have to go to final plat approval, and there's yet to be some more details that will be included with that as well. But at this point, so far, they have submitted what is needed to be consistent with the PUD that was approved.
Would the applicant like to come up and speak?
Good evening, everybody. Brian Ashby, Kimley Horner & Associates. We just moved, so I'm trying to remember my address. 6878 Marwood Lane, Orlando, Florida, 32827. I can tell that. We have no additional comments. We have been working with staff for a while now, and they've been great to work with. As mentioned, the preliminary development plan is a spitting image of what was in the PUD, just with some additional detail, a little bit more engineering involved to kind of get us to that point. But we're in support of staff's decisions. We are here to answer any questions if there are any, but we do not have any formal comments or anything like that at this time. The future trail connection, and there is a landscape track down
there. Okay, but I think there was a question about
the fact that the community leach field.
Yeah, thank you.
Because it was going to go, along Central Drive.
So it's along the southern. It's along the southern property.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yep, it is consistent with what we presented at for the PUD.
So no changes from that one?
We asked for a lot more clarity and identification on all the drawings, and we're pretty demanding of that to lay what is very clear and clearly on the drawings.
Yeah, so about halfway through the large pages, there's a page here that actually is kind of detailing the proposed 5-foot aluminum black picket fence, and then the tree line buffer before where would be the community leach field, and then trees on the other side before you get to houses. So it kind of sandwiches it, but it's on, these aren't numbered, so I can't tell you exactly.
There is a number at the very bottom left of each one, if you want to share that, like L1-07-08.
Yeah, L1-08 is what the detail you're looking for. So effectively, from the, if I'm reading this right, from the walking path, that would be proposed trail, the red line. You have black picket fence. And then a buffer. And it'd also be buffered from the back of the houses too as well. So I had a procedural question on this one. The notification distance for this one, 300 feet or 600 feet? I know this is still confusing because they changed it to 600 for certain things, but not necessarily for everything.
Yeah, Lisa, would you answer that since it's the notification time?
Yes, for the preliminary development plan, it's 300 feet.
So for the PUD, initially, at 600 feet,
I will assume I can pull up our.
Yeah, the PUD is 600.
But then a preliminary site, which is what this is, drops back to 300. It seems kind of inconsistent. Not saying that, I just want to make sure we're okay. A and B say we may want to think about making those consistent because we're to say, hey, for a PUD, we're going to do 600, but then for the site plan, we're only going to do 300.
So I've got our handy chart pulled up here. Yeah. For PUD, is 300 feet. Rezoning is 600 feet. PUD, 300. Preliminary development plan, 300. And the final will be 300 as well. The plat will be 300.
Got it. So it was the rezoning that I'm remembering, which is 600.
Right, and comp plan changes.
Yeah, comp plan changes. Okay.
And there was a new law that just went into effect July 1st that final plats will no longer have public hearings. They are to be approved administratively. So we're bringing to council in August a resolution that will designate who has final approval of those plans. But they won't go through or the town council any longer.
Then on the amended notice of public hearings, which I'm finding in my packet, the resolution states 139 single-family homes, which I know has been corrected now on the agenda, but not on the original mailer. Does that, did we send a new mailer with revision, or does that detail matter from a legal perspective?
Since the number that was noticed is actually larger than the number being approved, it's insignificant and doesn't require new legal notices.
Perfect. That's kind of what I assumed. It's a less than what we advertised effectively. Okay.
And the first notice had, I believe, an incorrect council meeting date on it. That's why the second notice was sent out with the correct council meeting date.
But then it still had the wrong or the errored unit counts. Okay.
More questions for the applicant?
I have one.
Okay.
The applicant. And this is actually my last tagged item from reviewing. So looking at L1-05, which is the soil and flow directional and output from the various soils, I'm concerned about what would that be? That would be the western soil, but its output is to the wetlands. Mm-hmm. Wetlands are typically more sensitive to massive changes in volumes of water, environmental runoffs. I would think that it would be better to divert that directly to the shore of Lake Apopka, where it could be absorbed into millions of gallons of water, versus being flooded into the wetlands. He's agreeing with me. And also I have some concerns about, you're talking about basically the water flow from half of the site going into those swales, running out through that one outlet into the wetlands, which could then inundate the Kirk Island Eastman access, which I think was brought up previously, that he was concerned about that area. Already goes underwater at times, and now that I'm seeing that you're putting an awful lot of water into the wetlands. So that was my question, is whether or not that could be redesigned so that the output would go somewhere into Lake Apopka directly instead of into the sensitive wetlands. Sure, and I'd be happy to answer that question. So I think this landscape plan diagram doesn't tell you the whole story, right? It's more to show where the LID areas are going to be located more than the engineering behind the stormwater. We have already been going through the water management district permitting process for this. This does not indicate how much water flow, stormwater runoff, will be directed to the wetlands. We have to, under state law, meet pre-post discharge rates,
yeah,
right, which we are. The arrow indication is only a general location of where stormwater flow will be directed. It has no indication of how much flow is being directed that way. Now, we cannot send more water to Lake Apopka in our post condition than we can in pre, and we can also not do that to the wetlands as well. We can only send equal to or less than the amount of stormwater that was going there previously for the design storm. In this case, it's the 25-year, 24-hour storm. That's what we're aware of. And so we are less than in all of our conditions, discharge rates, again, those flow arrows are just that. It's an arrow. Specifically, wetlands, too, we actually have to make sure they are hydrated and that we don't hold back too much water
yeah.
from them. So they have to meet the antecedent condition of a wetland. And so that's something that's the 3-year storm that the Water Management District looks at, that we have to prove to them as well that we're not going to adversely impact these wetlands by just taking all the water and sending it over to Lake Apopka. One other thing I'll note is what's unique about these wetlands is they are hydraulically connected to Lake Apopka. And the reason that gentleman's easement continuously gets flooded during seasonally high, big rainfall events where the lake may come up a few inches to a foot is because it is directly interconnected with those wetlands. They are hydraulically connected. And so we are meeting all of those conditions. We will have to do final engineering as well, prove that as well, and we are going through the Water Management District.
Does that mean that there's probably an unindicated passageway underneath the main road that's coming through the middle of the development that would actually connect those soils and allow some of the water to go potentially out? There's only one way out for any of that water right now, is the way it's being shot or drawn.
There's two. There's one at the southeast corner of the site, the Lake Apopka.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about the western soil setup alone only has one exit arrow, and mm-hmm. that's directly to the wetland. So I'm asking, does that mean that there's a passageway underneath the road between the two different soils?
No, those basins are separate. But if you look at how large that pond is compared to the other, we're retaining a lot of water and percolating that back into the soil to be able to hold that and retain that back before it discharges off-site into the wetlands.
Got it. You're higher capacity or retention, allowing more ground absorption,
more water quality,
and
yep.
less actual runoff into the wetlands, but
you got
maintaining
it.
The overall flows.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions for the applicant? I'll step back for a minute.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, we're actually right now in the current preliminary development plan that's in front of you. We're actually exceeding the open space requirement, the green space requirement, by almost 8 acres. So yes, there is. I'll give you the exact amount. I don't have that on the top of my head. I'm sorry. I'll give you the exact number. And we did this very strategically. We didn't want just one large open space, especially with a community of this size. Just giving you a little background, probably more than I need to. But you can see some of the green areas located. Well, it's not on this plan. Well, yeah, it is. Some of the green areas located variously around the community, just to give folks around the neighborhood various opportunities as they're walking. But the required open space is 25%, and we are actually providing 32%. So that's open space.
Just out of curiosity, do you have community buildings with a community pool and all that?
So there's nothing in the design that we're civil engineer. We are planning for one in the future, like an amenity type of center, for it to be available to the community. I'm sure one will be proposed by the builder who ends up deciding to do the actual finished lots of all of this. We are planning for one. We provided a conceptual drawing of what that could potentially look like with a pool, things of that nature in the preliminary development plan, kind of at a conceptual level. Any of that would have to go through the building permit process with the town for final approval for that. But we've accounted for the impervious area, the runoff for stormwater in our calculations, assuming that those things will be in some of those open space areas. It will. It will not be 8 acres worth of open space. Typically, in an amenity center, you're looking at potentially, you know, a quarter acre of impervious area for the type of.
Can I ask you how many roads going in and out, other than the ongoing discussion about the road situation?
What's your exact question?
How many entrances and exits?
Three. So they're on the screen where the black arrows are. So you're looking at three main entrances. So you've got 8, 9, and Temple. And then there is also Temple connects to. There's technically four separate if they wanted to, but it's three main entrances.
There was some discussion in prior meetings about the needs of the roads to be addressed.
Yes, the developers have agreed to make a financial contribution to the town that will fix 8, 9, and Temple roads in spring.
Insurance pay.
My bird gets hurt by
my dog. Yeah, I can imagine.
Sorry about that. the developer is working with the town to work on those three roads to bring them up to a standard that can handle the additional traffic and the safety concerns.
One other question, sir. Some of the people in public comments in the past have talked about, will there be a boat ramp for people to live in the community?
There's no boat ramp proposed within our development. We have dedicated right of way for future improvements to the existing boat ramp that's there, for enhancements there, and we worked with town staff to understand how much right of way that would be needed based off of their preliminary design drawings. And so right now, I believe it's a 40-foot. Maybe even less, 35-foot right of way that's out there today for the boat ramp, and with our dedication, that would be wide to 8. I feel like I should just stop talking. It's 80 feet of right of way then for enhancements to the boat for the boat ramp. That's a dedication to the town.
So double the space there now.
It would theoretically double the width. That's correct.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to make sure I'm well grounded.
Yeah. Okay, we can open it for public comment.
Hello, I'm Pamela Cox. I live right on the corner
you might ask. Oh, they just gave
it. Well, recently, they had a fishing competition. And I went down and talked to one of the first people that parked their trailer there, the boat trailer, and asked them if we could please park it at an angle. And I think eventually the town is planning on paving that side of the road for the boat people to park their trailers there. And because I did that, every one of the fishermen parked their trailers at an angle. It only took 23 trailers. That boat ramp is nothing more than some concrete poured on the dirt at the bottom of the street. And if there's going to be 137 houses built, I would think if I was going to buy a house there, I'd want to buy one because it's on the west side of the fourth largest lake in Florida. And I would love to have a boat. Now, if only 50% of those people have boats, they're going to have a place to put their trailers. And if they're not going to have a boat ramp, then I think that they should have some property to the left of the boat ramp for people to be able to park their vehicles and their trailers while they go into the lake. Because, I mean, I don't have a problem with people having their boats across the street from my property. I'm glad to see all the people having fun on their boats. But something needs to be done. I don't understand why such a big development is being built and they're not allowed, maybe not allowed to have a boat ramp. That doesn't make any sense to me at all. And that's nice that they're going to widen it, but that's not going to do much for parking the trailers and the vehicles. So I mostly wanted to mention that somehow or another, and maybe they've already made arrangements for a place for people to park their trailers. But I would think that if they could allow some, and I know they don't want to do that because it's a lakefront piece of property there to the left of the boat ramp. But I would think it would be perfect if they could put like an acre of paved land to the left of the boat ramp so people have a place to park their trailers and their vehicles. So I just wanted to mention that before they start building all those houses and stuff because if I was going to buy a house there, that's why I would want, because I want to be able to go fishing and have a boat. And so that just an idea that I thought I would bring up. So I don't know why such a big development is not being requested to have their own boat ramp.
Mike with 17635 Broad Street. I guess my question right here is all environmental wildlife mitigation taking place. I mean, I know the fire department, you know, the county bought that property there. They had to go in and do mitigation for gopher turtles and whatever wildlife. Is the same thing going to happen on this property here?
Yeah, part of the development review process, as they get their permit for construction, they'll have to meet whatever the state, federal, and local guidelines are.
So they're going to have to do that before they can even start construction?
Yeah, if there's tortoises out there, they'll have to mitigate the tortoises. You know, that's state statute, so that'll be easy.
My concern is I have bald eagles nest. They don't nest, but they stay across the street from me during the winter months. And I know what's going to happen here is once this development starts, they're probably going to disappear. I just want to take that into consideration. I have wild turkeys that come down my street and come on my yard. I'm not against this development, but I just want all the standards to take place at any other place. The same thing is going to happen here, you know, with the Bellatelina property on 55 acres there. I want the standards to be the same for everybody. So, and if we need to tighten those standards up, you know. So. One other comment. Looks like all the lakefront lots right there are going to be 75 feet. Am I correct?
I think it's 70.
So 70 foot. We know that somebody builds a house, an architect come in, they're not going to build out. They're going to build up. So, you know, that's a lot of two-story. It's going to change the landscape forever.
Or back.
So if you go down Broad Street right now, there's a gentleman that's built, it's got a two-story house going. I have to ask everybody to drive down there and take a look at it. That's what the lakefront is going to look like on the side of the property. Two-story houses all the way around. And from my standpoint, you know, if I buy a lakefront lot, that's what I'm going to do for it. I'm going to get the 30-foot maximum I can, you know, to get the most out of my property. But, you know, if you're on a boat out there looking at it, it's going to be ugly. That's all there is to it. So, anyway, that's my comments. I just want to make sure the wildlife is considered as far as mitigation. I know they had to do it on the sketchy property for the fire department. They had to bring in a biologist. Sean, maybe you can speak to that.
Yeah, we'll work with the applicant to make sure that we get copies of their building towards relocation permit. They've got to do, indigo snake monitoring during construction, all that. We'll ask for all that reports, for all the reports and their permits beforehand.
And who knows what kind of Native American artifacts are going to be on that property? You know, because we all know one time, years ago, this is who lived here.
Yes.
So, thank you.
Good evening. Kelly Moore, 17029 Jordan Street Drive, Munford, Florida. I have a concern that I've heard that I can't afford to come to these meetings. I'm a professor at the universities in the area for 20 years. Teaching nights, so people say, "Oh, we gotta come to me, try that." Well, about 2 years ago, we had a consultant stand here. We hired to tell us that we had to do something to mitigate the septic systems, and then a whole sort of thing came and it was a messy, disgusting situation. And then I thought we were building a package plant for this that they, Oscar, was going to mitigate their own sewage, but now I'm understanding, I've never heard this before, but we're going to have a septic tank shared between two homes, and it's going to be the new style septic tank, which a lot of people in the industry say, those fail, those have issues, so I'm trying to understand how our leadership says, well, we got to do something to bring in a consultant, because we can't, 5 years from now, even though there's no standard, we want to get ahead of it, the runoff through the Great Pocket. So we're going to have to do this whole sort of thing. But then Osgood is going to have their own separate package plan that goes away. And now I'm looking up here and I see it says lift station track. Lift station to me means there's some kind of a package plan or something. But then now what I'm hearing from people who are more up to speed on this is that these homes will be sharing a septic tank between the two. So I'd like someone in the planning development to educate me about this, because, I live here, I've been here 10 years, and I plan to stay here, but, I'm looking at this whole evolution. We had hired consultants come in here and tell the town, oh, we have to get ahead of this because the state's mandating this. We have to have a sewer. And then, Osgood's going to have a separate deal, it's going to be a package plant, it's going to be this. And now I'm hearing, I've never in my adult life heard of sharing a septic tank with a neighbor. And we don't know who's moving in, how many family members, they rent the property, what. So those are some concerns I have. It seems it's got this evolution in a matter of 2 years from a consultant sitting with a fancy PowerPoint and paid her good money to tell us, the sky's falling, we got to get ahead of the state's recommendations, even though there's no recommendations yet. And then we're going to have a package plan. So now what I'm hearing is, we don't really have a package plan here, but they're going to have a septic tank between two homes. And what I've heard some people here say, that the setback on a 60-foot lot minimum is going to be 7.5 feet. So that means if you do the math, it's 15 feet off the property width, it means the homes are going to be 45 feet wide. And it just seems like this isn't the Mount Bird that I moved into 10 years ago. And I'm kind of upset that the leadership here has allowed this to happen. So please address the septic system, because I have to go home and explain this to my wife who's working tonight. Like, what are they doing there? Are they putting in a sewer system, a package plant? Are they sharing a septic tank with their neighbor? Because that just doesn't jive with most people when they hear that. Especially after we're going to have a sewer put right behind on Lake Street. And I had the same engineering team stand right here and tell me, oh, we're going to mitigate the smell. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Mag Terrace, we're going to have a huge septic sewer tank right behind us within 500 feet of the water feet. And that's all happened within 2.5 years. And these things just keep happening. And I'm sitting here like, it just doesn't. It doesn't have to smell nice. Thank you.
So, Commission, I'll address that with you. They're not putting a septic system in. They're putting on-site system in, which Florida Department of Environmental Protection has classified that as a wastewater treatment plant. It's an underground system, but it's monitored, tests are done monthly, and it's a wastewater treatment plant system. So that's what they're putting in as a shared system to run this particular site. So that is, we don't have a wastewater treatment plant at Emerald Bird. They have to go through DEP, and DEP, that is a system that they would permit next to the lake and as an option for them. So, but it is classified as a wastewater treatment plant by DEP.
My name is Christian, 17701 8th Street. I'm rarely able to come to these because I have a family, and you might see my two kids, they're a little tired, but my concern is, it seems like this is gonna go forward. The number of homes that are going to be placed there is left to be determined. Assuming that this does go forward, my concern is the forward economic impact to the town. When I look at this, I hardly see what Montverde has kind of stood for me and the reputation that is gained in this area. I've been here for about 5 years, but I've seen that it has become somewhat of a destination for people. It has a reputation of being verdant and a gathering place. I mean, we literally have a new business called The Gathering right down the street there. And the amount of green that I see here is just not enough. I know it was mentioned that maybe about 32% of this PUD is being designated, I guess, green space, but that just doesn't seem like enough for the reputation that Montverde has. So I would urge brief thought on how much green space there is and what will be available to the communities. And I've mentioned this before, but I still don't believe that the streets that are going to be used are ready for the amount of vehicular and pedestrian traffic that already exists. And we're going to add that. All these new residents are just going to wear down the road. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Kelly Moore, 17029 Florence View Drive, Montverde, Florida. I don't know if I can have a direct conversation with Paul in this meeting, but I didn't quite hear that there is no septic tank shared between two homes. I heard a fancy way of saying it's going to be a state-approved plant, sewer plant that's allowed to be near the lake. But it's underwater, it's underground, but I didn't hear it's not where a septic tank is between two homes. Can we clarify that?
I think the clarity, it's not a septic system. So a septic system uses just normal biological processes to decompose the waste. On-site, it's a mechanical plant that uses a mechanical system and is regulated by the DEP for the outflows that come out of the effluent. So they are planning on, from my understanding, it hasn't gone to engineering yet. They'll have some large systems that several houses may be connected to. There may be a system that two houses are connected to. So there's little systems, and they all go to a shared drain field, much like a normal wastewater treatment plant. But they may be individual small little wastewater treatment plants between two homes, three homes, or right in front of one home. It's ever how they design that. But that design and approval goes through DEP and not the town of Montverde.
So they will have shared systems between homes, and will it be, as the map indicates, lift stations, like they're pumping to an area, to a drain field?
The track that you see on the lift station, and I'll have to have them design that. Originally, we asked them to leave a small track. If we are ever required to put sewer in the future, we have a track for a lift station in the future. I don't believe you guys are using a lift station to move the water. Maybe you are, Brian. You are. Okay, so yeah. So they're going to use a lift station after the water's treated to move it to the drain fields.
Now, when we talked about having these advanced, up-to-date septic systems that have to be put in new homes filled with today's code, they have to have that mini electronic device to treat the water. So if I build a new home today in Mount Vernon, I need to have a new system which has to be monitored and all this. This sounds pretty much like a hybrid version of that, where they're going to interconnect those. Would that be a fair classification?
It's a complete difference. And Sean's half familiar with on-site, maybe you just land, but it's a whole different classification of systems where your advanced septic systems, you don't have to test monthly. These have to have random tests monthly going around. And Sean, you want to just share what that is? But again, it's really a DEP approval. It's
yeah,
not a Montbert approval
system. It treats it at a much higher level than any septic tank system.
Okay, so where is the drain field for 137 homes going to be?
Those are in the areas that are down at the bottom, the southern portion of the site that was talked about earlier.
Okay. Thank you for hearing my answers.
Thank you.
Megan Reyes, 97701 8th Street, and I'd be satisfied if the answers were in like a newsletter or an email, but my concern is mostly, like others have said, the ecosystem and our water supply. I know we've had our water tested in the past for lead, and then I got a notice saying that the galvanized pipes were galvanized for the actual, like, from the street to my house. So just updates on that, our water supply, our pipes that supply the town, and also the quality of the lake. I know we used to get updates for the water quality and the pollution, and the algae just seems ridiculous now. Like, it just seems like it's getting worse. But I know that the ratings were getting better for the lake. So I would like some kind of information to be informed and how to make informed decisions for what I'm going to do with the quality of the water and the potential algae and bloom that might be coming up from Apopka, my water pipes. And then also, and I could be misremembering the details. I don't know the full story, but Florida just passed a ban on new septic tanks for, I want to say, the St. James River around St. Augustine. And because of the water quality and the septic leaching and affecting the water and the plants and grasses and all that, and just seeing how we are in Lake County and how all of the waters, the water table, all of that mixes together, so how that will impact us in the future, because I feel like if they're stepping up their game saying, we're not having any more, you know, septic tanks, at least in this region, I feel like that's probably going to expand at some point. So how that's going to affect us if we're still relying on septic tanks too. So that, you know, again, I'm just asking that to ask for more information for future plans and future information to help me make informed decisions with respect to this going forward and with the community's concerns of the ecosystem and our environment that's unique to this area. Because if you go, as you guys know, not many places respect the environment like Montbert has. So, that's it.
Sure. Yeah, sure. Thank you for those comments, and I agree. Well, I think the town will work on putting out some additional information on some of that in a more detailed newsletter, but just real briefly, if I can, Ms. Arellano. On the water supply, the town is in the process of getting approval from DEP on a facility plan. That'll be about a $12.9 million improvement to our water system. From storage to pipeline replacements, removing some of the galvanized lines in town, putting additional size on towns, and that's 100% covered by grant and other tax dollars, which is great. The system they are putting in, again, I'll just kind of circle back, it actually is an approved wastewater treatment plant. They're individual in the ground, but each one of them has to be tested, run, and looked at, and the final water result is that similar. Not quite as good as a full wastewater treatment plant, but a whole lot better than a septic, but somewhere in the middle of that. So it's a better quality water. As far as the runoff, As he mentioned, the engineer mentioned earlier, they're actually going to release less water from the site into there. Now, obviously, you have streets and things, so water quality changes a little bit. Under our land development code, and I know Sean's, there's some real detail here. Probably, it's not on this one, but it's on some of the other ones that the commissioner has. They're putting some, a lot of natural plants and things in the bottom of the detention ponds as a natural absorber to help work on that pollution before it enters the ground. And really, that best way is to store that water and let it leach through the ground and let nature do its thing versus running off right now. In addition, just real quick, the town will also be doing some massive stormwater projects in the future with some additional gravity we have to try to get some of this water into some ponds before it goes into the lake. So I'll definitely put some more details in a future newsletter for you on those things. So, but thank you for your comments.
I appreciate the quick summary there.
No problem.
Thank you.
I never talking here first. This is my first time talking. I live in 17C41. My name has been declared near Robin. The most concern is the traffic with all the units gotta be naked. I think it's gotta be worse, very worse, because they have only three streets. I mean, I cannot imagine in the morning. And, you know, I cannot imagine after knowing when you're coming home how the traffic got to be. That's not a concern to me. And I think it's a lot of houses. I mean, I know my brother. I've been here for 14 years. But see that, I don't know. I'm thinking about more the traffic, the old construction, all that. I don't know when they're going to start, but the more concern for me, the traffic. Imagine when I go to work by going every morning, I have to get out early, because I don't get out early, I get it up. I find the extra fee. I can't imagine that. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for coming.
George Kinsmore at 1774 O'Neill Drive. Looking at this map, you're talking about all the sewage runoff and drainage, whatever. The only thing I see is a flower bed, supposedly a landscape easement, right along Neil Drive and right along everybody's front yard, backyard. That's where they're going to dump all the sewage treatment plant, whatever. You know, nothing else is green that I can see. I've looked at all these maps in this little strip. They told me they're going to dump all the water from these sewage treatment plants into this to water the plants. You know, that doesn't look like much of a system to me. That was one question. The other question is, when are they going to start, and is there any kind of projection when they'll finish? A lot of people have been asking. You know, they're going to start when? And, you know, projection, some type of projection. But that, if this is it, then all that sewage treatment is being dumped in our front yards. That don't seem right. I don't see any other green there. Maybe I'm not seeing it right. I hope so. I mean, you can't be putting out all that tree garbage in our front yard. That don't seem right. This is right where Osgood Road used to be. And, you know, that seems to be the dump area. That's right where we live. And you can put it back into the common area someplace where, you know, you've got plenty of land or whatever. There's a small skinny strip. I don't know how big it is. But it sure isn't much. Maybe we need to give that one some thought. Oops.
Yes, very clear. Pardon me? I said, can somebody clarify what he was just talking about?
Yeah, I mean, page, I guess, L107, probably more clarifies both the drain strip and the stormwater areas better than the map that's probably up there, so you can kind of see that it is a pretty large area once you kind of put that into perspective.
Okay.
at least more than what's showing up on the screen.
Did I read it was like 80? That's what I
said. Say again.
With the death,
Lisa, Sean, could you look and see what the depth of the along Osgood is?
You want to know the width?
Yeah. Oh, the lots across what was Osgood, right? So it was at 115 to 134 at the bottom. Basically, half of what's currently shown as yellow and pink, I guess that is. It shows us being part of the lot, but that's actually where the output of the fluid would go into the underground system. Almost half the width of what you're what's showing there, right? It's technically falling under community easements on those lots.
Yeah, we'll try to look
at what I'm saying.
I think you're correct, yeah. C2.2 shows it a little bit as well, too, as far as the drainage areas.
And it also has the tree buffer on both sides, and the fence, and the walkway.
Correct.
So it should be pretty well hit.
Yeah.
And or removed from the neighbors across the street.
Yeah. In general, these are underground as well. They're on an open water system that's draining. So.
That's correct. And they will go through engineering. They'll have to have engineering approvals approved through DEP. And again, there are systems that operate like the conventional septic tank, but they're an approved treatment system that's inside that treats it like a municipal sewer plant or similar. It doesn't treat it at the same level, but it's much, much higher. It's a conventional septic tank. At best, only treats about 30% of nutrient loading, whereas these will be anywhere from 65% to 85%. Maybe even, could be 90 under certain circumstances, percent of what a sewer treatment plant would be. That's why you do it, to address the water resources and questions that have been fired as well. Good questions, of course. So they'll be sized properly, and could they move? Could there be an adjustment somewhere in engineering when they have the applicant, if they move forward to get their approval with DEP? If that could happen, some engineering could be adjusted. But generally speaking, the size has already been engineered to enough to know that that's the area they need for the final, what comes out in the drain field. The drain fields, essentially. They're not pits or open water areas. They're drain fields. So the system treats a much higher quality than any septic tank.
And it's treated water in the drain field, to be clear.
Yeah,
it's been treated.
Yeah, it's been treated.
So there won't be any odor.
No, this is. You wouldn't know that it's there because it's like walking over your drain, like your own drain field.
Yeah, there will be sod over it.
Yeah,
over it.
Exactly. It's underground. It's all underground.
Not quite as clean as reclaimed water that we pump all over the cities and spray our lawns with, right? A little bit below that tier, but
correct.
Yeah, it's better than the septic tank. Yeah,
by far.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a BMAP requirement, as you've heard, that everybody's under, including the town and the city, all cities and the county. So what you want to do, and it's built into the code, regardless of whatever happened with the previous study to get municipal sewer, you always had to have some advanced kind of treatment on the site years ago. So there was no way around that. It's just that the standards changed. It's been raised even more, so they're going to go to the highest standard that's not a sewer on their site.
So there shouldn't be any impact to the neighboring town, the neighboring homes?
No.
The homes that shouldn't be any impact.
You wouldn't know it's there. Right. They're, and as Paul indicated, they have to test. Whereas a normal septic systems and advanced treatment units, because there's a difference between a conventional septic and advanced ATU and then DWTS. So the ATU and the conventional, those two aside, don't require any kind of testing. And In fact, you wouldn't in this area, you wouldn't even get with these lot sizes. With the new rule, I think somebody mentioned that earlier, you would never get a conventional septic tank permit anymore. So the advantage here is that they will have to test. They'll be required testing and maintenance of the system. It's on them to do it, not the town.
I would say the other difference in like a septic, if you want to put a septic system in it, and you go get a permit, and they give you a permit, you put your system in, and they certify it's in, and you're kind of out of the loop. On this system, they get a permit to put it in, but they also have to get an operating permit to run the system. So they have to have a qualified operator run the system. It's tested. That permit's renewed every few years. There may be changes where they have to do improvements based off, you know, future water quality tests or things along that line. So it's run not quite as high as a town wastewater treatment plant would or a city wastewater treatment plant, but it's just probably a step below that.
And Kelly Moore, 17029 Hornsby Drive, Lombard, Florida. I came up here, I'm going to come back to this in a second. The thing that came up, my wife is not here. She was alarmed to hear that on Lake Street we're putting in speed bumps because there's been speeding. The mayor sent out an email the other day that said that the school coming, we're going to have more police presence, which is wonderful, to prevent any, you know, accidents or injuries or whatnot. But I wondered, well, Lake Street, it's right behind where we live in Mount Terrace. Why are people speeding there? Because there's like one resident there and a field. And my wife said, well, what she has seen is when people are coming to Mount Verde to go to the academy, they don't want to go around the roundabouts, so they're circumventing the roundabouts to get to the school by taking the back roads in, and they speed right through there, to and from. Now, I'm putting that comment from my wife to now hearing the next lady that was just up here a minute ago talking about these three entrances that we've had traffic studies done and all this and what's it going to do. And I'm looking at 137 homes and I'm thinking, well, Matt Terrace is about 140. And in Matt Terrace, there's about three, on average, three cars per house, I would say. There's one guy in there with like 10 cars, and I have five my driver. So if you take the 137 fully occupied, three cars on average, if not more, you're going to end up with a lot of traffic. And now we're already having people speed to get around town. The speed bumps now being put in on basically vacant streets. I think this is a recipe to say, well, 5 years from now, I'll say, well, you know, they did this and it's here and that's the way it is. And the leadership here has to look at this and think, well, are you going to be okay with that? That you're creating more of a bottleneck for people to get in and get out during rush hour traffic, especially at Mount Vernon Academy, with a 20-mile-an-hour speed limit, with cars backed up a mile down, coming in and coming out during the school year. And so that's one thing for you to think about. Other question I had about this is what happened to the package plant that was the plan that they were going to do? Is this a way to yield more lots or bigger lots that were going a step down from a water treatment plant that was part of the initial planning in the interim with all of our stuff? Because when we were looking at a sewer, we were going to think, oh no, Osmo's going to do their own. It's going to be separate. Because a lot of people had the hysteria like, oh, they're going to tie in here for free or something. And that was put to rest saying, no, they're going to have their own package plan. What it sounds to me now is they can't do a regular septic. So we're looking for the most cost-effective way to handle sewage here, which another resident came up here and said, hey, look, there's a drain field here. Now, drain fields do have to get redone every now and then. And now you're going to have 137 home sewage being filled at a higher level. And we can split the differences. But what's the data showing next to a lake, similar communities, that this has been done and it's been going successful for 10, 15 years without any issues, that the members can sit here and say, oh yeah, we've done the research, this is 100% the standard, and it's done, and it's not an issue. So those are the things, if I was sitting here as a planning person, I would have the questions for the community. I wouldn't just sit here and stare. The one guy came up here, I was shocked. he was talking about a gathering place. And I was sitting here thinking, well, Karen, don't you have a stake in them? Somebody's telling me that the gathering place was taken when the restaurant went out, that was put in, and that maybe Ariel Moran had something to do with that. So the guy's standing here, and you had a bit of a smirk on your face as he was telling you about how quaint this town is, that we have a gathering place right down the street, and I don't think he knows that you're a part owner of that. So, you know, let's just, I'm just sitting here thinking, it's awfully right when these people come up here, and we get kind of, we're looking for answers.
The site plan is
thank you.
About whether or not what is depicted in the preliminary plan meets the conditions that are set forth in the code and in the PUD. The issues about traffic and septic, those have all been addressed throughout the PUD zoning process. They are compliant with the state law and with your codes. And so just want to focus you back on what your decision is relating to the site plan. Thank you. Thank you.
Any more public comment? Okay, we'll close public comment. I do have a question for you all. I know you said that they're contributing some money to improve 8th, 9th, and Temple.
Correct.
When those roads get improved, they'll be widened? Will there be sidewalks? Just curious. We've gone around on that.
Yeah, I ultimately, council will make the final decision what those look like, but what was discussed during the PUD hearing is they'll be expanded to 24-foot width, which is the town's code for a road standards. And we discussed putting a sidewalk on one side to kind of minimize the land that would, I mean, it's all town right-of-way, but kind of minimize the amount of front yard disturbance that would be involved in that. So that's been discussion, and more of a road that would match the area, such as using a ring and curb when possible, and things like that. There are some areas, over on 9th, where it comes down into the hill, where it gets hilly, we'll probably have to do some curb and gutter in that area, just that we have some erosion issues already going on in that direction. So, there's different points in the process where the developer will make those contributions into the town.
And those sidewalks will be 6-foot wide? All sidewalks are 6-foot?
Yeah, our code minimum is 6, so we were looking somewhere between 6 and 8 foot.
Okay.
So that'll kind of be, we really, you know, we kind of outlined if, you know, here's what our code is, here's what staff would like to see, but that'll be a formal, probably, discussion that we'll have to bring back to council, and they'll make the final decisions of direction of how they want staff to proceed on that, because I know they want to get some public comment on that as well. But it definitely would be needed, you know, 24-foot. This is for safety concerns. That's the whole point of why the money was negotiated with them for the safety concerns. So having the sidewalk in the 24 is going to be pretty critical for that.
Yeah, so the developers aren't doing that road construction. Ultimately, the town is doing that
the
design choice and development and road work and storm sewers and everything, just using funds provided by the developer to supplement or
that's correct, yeah, because we have a better opportunity to possibly mix that in with some other stormwater money to make some more improvements to some more of the roads and possibly, you know, more roads in the area that probably lead to some of the traffic and safety concerns.
The erosion issues you were talking about on 9th, you mean like degree 9th, 8th, that
right.
Hill that's dropping down?
Correct, yeah. That's probably
sand build up all the time.
Yeah, that's going to probably require some curb and gutter and some storm piping to fix that issue there.
So.
Okay. Would you like to answer any other questions?
All the lots are half acre, right?
That's correct. The PUD and council and planning zoning require every lot be a half acre minimum, which is matches up.
So some of these lots that are half acre, does that include wetlands? I mean, is that included in their half acre?
Yeah, some of the stormwater areas and I believe wetlands are part, yes, they are part of their half acres, correct.
Yeah, and there's an easement over those, in those areas so that they, although it is their property, they are not allowed to be impacted, including the low impact development areas, the drainage areas that you see in the
which will have, as was discussed during the several PUD hearings, essentially their own homeowner requirements to not construct anything. Has to be native vegetation. It's basically part of the property, but that's it. It's not supposed to be for limited purposes, low impact development, stormwater, water resource protection purposes, and open space as well. It provides the aesthetic of open space because it's never to be built on.
If you look at L107, it really shows it well. Do the long page?
Yeah.
On the left hand side, 107.
Yeah, so the PUD requirement is no more than 2 homes per acre and a minimum lot size of 1/2 acre. And I believe they're around less than 1.5 homes per acre, so I think that's my ballpark. So far under the requirement.
1.5 homes per acre gross.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
But each individual lot is 1/2 acre. Doesn't mean that it's 1/2 acre usable land, but each lot is
at 1/2 acre minimum of lot ownership. Correct.
Just remind me, I think I remember this, but I want to make sure I remember on the left side of this, the pink, that's the access road or easement for the person.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, for Kirk Island, that's correct.
Did they decide there's like that wall? I think.
Yeah, there will be a wall.
Okay, so that way it's not like some
distraction
or something's back
there. That's correct. And they also agreed that signage back there, to put signage that, you know, it can't be used. And correct me if I'm wrong, they're doing an overlay or something to keep the access where they can't go back there and build a treehouse or a shed or something along that
line. There'll be signage and it'll be to the.
But that's also considered part of their application.
That's correct. That's correct. So kind of similar on, I guess, on Florence Lake, we have some houses that the lots go out into the water, and in Mag Terrace there's some houses that do go out into the wetlands and conservation areas. So it's a similar setup in other areas which in town. So usable land, there will be some less usable lot sizes.
That we set forward in the original PUD have been met within the scope of the initial site plan. So based on that, I propose that we approve resolution 2025-179.
Just want to let you know, we will not have a meeting in August, but we are planning one September. So we'll have a couple of items coming through on that. As you know, Mr. Johnson resigned from the Planning and Zoning Board, so council is working at the next meeting, hopefully to appoint a replacement. We've had a couple of applicants coming for that. And again, I thank you guys so much for your time and your services, Tim.
Awesome, thank you.
What about a town planner update?
I tonight. We will have some ordinances. We've got probably, I think, six ordinance changes coming up to make things more clear. As is always, you know, trying to go through to make sure ordinances are more clear and reasonable. So those will be coming to you over the next few months here. We'll have some. Some of it is very ministerial, but it serves a purpose to make sure that it's clear and we don't run into problems in the future. So what I think anywhere from 4 to 6 that we're working on right now for the next couple of months. So that's all we have.
Thank you. And last is any town attorney updates.
As I mentioned earlier, the law change with final plats, those will be administratively approved moving forward. There are probably some other code changes we'll make in relation to any new laws that got adopted that we have to comply with. And then looking at the calendar, I think we're scheduling P&Z for September 23rd. Okay, that's all I have. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. And last would be adjournment. If I can get a motion.
I move we adjourn.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.